Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Jerome, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen, Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and Father Charles. Let's begin with a prayer. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Okay, so for today and for the next show, we're going to examine some principles, some often repeated principles from Alcoholics Anonymous, which are also principles that are applied to anyone with any addiction, and I would say they apply to anyone who struggles with any habitual sin, which is basically the whole of humanity. Including you.
I resemble that, Marak.
Me too. The thing we're going to talk about today is a topic. This is perhaps one of the most, it could be the most often repeated maxim of Alcoholics Anonymous that they use to help them completely overcome their addiction to alcohol, which could otherwise destroy their lives. And again, this people of, you know, who have addictions to anything at all take this for themselves. And it applies not only to addictions, but any habitual sin.
You're keeping us in suspense, Father.
Yes, that's part of the suspense is good. Suspense is very good. It increases interest. Like, isn't your... No. No, so the maxim is one day at a time. Always take it one day at a time. And so my question is, the question that we will discuss is this right? Is there truly wisdom in this? What about foresight as an essential part of prudence, as St. Thomas says? And as we all instinctively know, foresight is an essential part of prudence. Shouldn't we always be thinking ahead more than one day at a time, much more than one day at a time? So that's one question. I mean, I think we all instinctively have that objection. But, okay, on the contrary, Jesus himself says this in the gospel. He basically says, take it one day at a time. He says, for example, in the gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24, sufficient for the days are its own troubles. Sufficient for the day are its own troubles. Are its own troubles. So let me ask my three brothers who are here with me, whoever would like to speak first, what do you think? Is that good or not? One day at a time? Should we live by that or not?
I'm a Dominican, so I'll begin with a distinction. Yes. So I think you can talk about, as you pointed out, foresight belongs to prudence. But I do think that the maxim we're talking about, one day at a time, has less to do with foresight, strictly speaking, than it does to do with one's decision in the moment. So it's more in the matter of the will. Mm-hmm. So it applies more to justice than to prudence. You know, it's to give each person their due, including me. You know, so there's a sense in which what am I due? In the moment when I'm making a decision, say, as I said, we start with Alcoholics Anonymous, to drink or not to drink, and to serve myself in one sense, to do the right thing, to give justice by me, justice to the people around me, justice to my loved ones, you know, if I've got the allergy, you know, then the just thing is not to drink. And that is what my will needs to choose and embrace. And yet to worry about, like, I'll never drink again might be too much. You know, if you think about, like, a life, I mean, you can apply this to anything, a life, you know, without chocolate, you know, if chocolate is your binge food, if you're a member of Overeaters Anonymous. If you look at dice or, you know, it can never, ever spend something like an impulse buy. Whatever the situation is, the idea of changing one's life in the moment is frequently overwhelming. It's a huge amount of pressure. And therefore, to realize that even if I just need to keep my pattern, you know, of right action, just not even for today. Let's not even go to 6 hours from now. Let's just do it in this moment when my pressures, my weaknesses, my compulsions, my better self are all contending in me as to what I do next. And my pride has the solution and wants to impose it. And humility will have another way. Authentic humility, which is something different, I think, what most people think of. What I'm talking about is humility is the practical practice of it in the moment. And that's different from, I think, some other ways we've talked about humility before.
Yeah, I think another important distinction here is between planning and worrying, you know. So I don't think, obviously, you know, it's part of being a good parent, for example, to plan for your children's future, you know, to lay aside money for their college education or what have you, to plan for your retirement, etc. But there's a difference between that and anxious worry, you know. And I think that's what, in my mind, what the Lord is getting at when he talks about not worrying about tomorrow. Because, you know, when you think about it, there's very little you can do to ensure, guarantee, you know, that you'll be prepared for what life is going to throw at you. You know, you can be the perfect planner, you know, and do everything in a prudent fashion, and yet, you know, as Jesus talks about with the man who stores up grain, you know, your life will be demanded of you this very night. So it's that, I think it's that sort of staking your happiness on what is to come, you know, temporally speaking, earthly promises of whatever you're looking forward to, you know. I think that's what the Lord is trying to get us to see, that happiness is something deeper than that. You know, it's not us storing up grain. It's something that you can have right now because it's something that is essentially an interior reality. You know, it's a disposition of your soul, not a certain arrangement of earthly possessions or achievements that you sort of store up for yourself, you know, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I I think it is good to live for the day, but it is important to make that distinction. We were just joking about this before the show. You know, what if we did our weekly mass schedule that way? You know, what if we said, we're just going to make the mass schedule for today? You know, who's going to do the 7 o'clock mass? Who's going to do what about Sunday? We'll deal with Sunday on Sunday. No, we can't do that. It'd be a disaster. It'd be a disaster. So yes, you do have to plan. But then on the other hand, and if you don't plan, and I find this happening in my life, you know, when you get really busy, I find like my frame of reference gets shorter and shorter until it's not just what happens today, but what happens like 2 hours from now, you know. Right. Don't ask me what's happening 3 hours from now because I'm worried about what's happening in the next 2 hours. I completely lose track and then I forget what happened like 3 hours before that, you know. And so another word for that you might say is putting out fires. You know, you don't want to be in that mode when you're just constantly just putting out fires. They keep coming at you. unexpectedly because you haven't prepared, because you haven't planned. So it's definitely not that. I mean, but there is a real importance to, like Father Charles was saying, and, you know, to not worrying about those things. I mean, assuming you have planned for them as much as you can, reasonably, not worrying about those things that worry is not going to help. Mm-hmm. And especially as Father Hayes was saying, I really agree with that. Like, when we think of all the things we have to do to accomplish this huge goal, it seems overwhelming and crushing. But if we think, well, you know, right now I can just do what I can do right now. I'm just going to take this one step mm-hmm. right now. And if we focus on that, hey, I did one step. You know, at least I'm making progress.
The Lord says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give the peace as the world gives peace. It seems to me that tranquility that flows from a right order with him mm-hmm. is a good baseline to see in the moment what we need to do. Mm-hmm. For instance, sometimes it is planning that aids our serenity. You know, we have a schedule for next week. That should aid our serenity, even when the schedule occasionally, like today, had an error in it.
But yeah,
but we did the plan. And then there's the other business about all the things that crowd in on the moment of decision, the moment of temptation, the moment of anxiety or anger or assault. And in that moment, take a deep breath. Where do I find my serenity? I think first, for me, in calling the name of Jesus, you know, and then the next thing is to ask him, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And that's the act of practice of humility I was talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Okay, what do you want me to do? And frequently, in my experience, you know, as soon as I've asked the question, I know in my heart what he wants me to do. Sometimes it comes other ways, but I think, I mean, he promises he will be with us. The Holy Spirit has descended upon the church as a bright cloud to keep us in the presence of God and his power. And so I think we can trust it in these moment of decisions to, as I said, check the serenity and then choose what God wants me to do in the moment, apart from whatever my silly pride is telling me that I should be choosing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Jesus specifically links this to faith, hope, and love. You know, he says, don't be like the Gentiles, you know. Don't be like those who don't have faith. And, you know, it's true that if you don't have anything supernatural to look forward to and to kind of ground you, your life becomes worrying about the future. Mm-hmm. And trying to carve out a space in this competitive world, you know.
You're the first cause. Yeah. You're the first cause.
Exactly.
Without God, you're the first cause of.
You have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Because no one else is going to, right?
You're like an orphan.
Yes.
Who doesn't have a father or mother. You have to provide for yourself because no one else will.
Right. I'm the captain of my soul.
Yeah.
Hellish sentiment.
Yes. I mean, obviously, we're not talking about a kind of infantilization here where you never assume responsibility. But you assume your earthly responsibilities in the light of being a son, right? Mm-hmm. An adopted son of God, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that whatever happens, you know, even if disaster strikes, mm-hmm. Which it may, you know, human sense, even if we die, you know, we're going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, what enables a Christian, mm-hmm. unlike someone who doesn't have faith, to have this kind of day at a time serenity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. you're listening to Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Jerome. I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and Father Charles. We've been discussing the maxim of Alcoholics Anonymous, which has been taken up by every other group that suffers with any addiction whatsoever, and I think is applicable to every human being on earth, Is it a good maxim to take life one day at a time or not? And Father Charles has just been talking about, I think, what is really the principle of the whole matter. You know, is it up to you or is it up to God? Is it up to God, your Father? If it's up to you, you really have to, like, think about the future and anxiety. It's, I mean, you have to plan, like, do whatever you can because it's up to you. And, you know, doing things to change the future that might make all the difference. If you think of yourself as a son of the Father who takes care of all of your needs and desires, who has all of those in mind and knows them even better than you do, and who has all power and who loves you, then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm okay. As long as I'm like one with him, I'm okay. He has all power. He loves me more than I love myself. He knows me more than I know myself. He knows my needs more than I know my own needs. All I have to do is be one with him. If I'm one with him, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have to understand. I don't have to have my own resources, and he'll provide for me because he loves me and he has all the power in the whole universe. Mm-hmm.
I think in this connection also of the Lord's Prayer, you know, give us this day our daily bread. So we're just asking enough for the day. And that's, you know, when you think about it, God answers that prayer every day, you know. Give us this day our daily bread. And at the end of the day, you know, wow, that's God. God gave me my daily bread today. You know, he answered my prayer. And but I think that's significant. You know, when he talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, he talks about the lilies of the field, and, you know, and then it comes up again in the Our Father. And I think it really is, both of those things are connected to what you're talking about, Father Jerome. You know, what are the very first words of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. Our Father. And that puts everything else into context. Just give me enough for the day. And then what does that imply? It implies that I have to ask for it every day. You know, if I asked for it yesterday, that's great, you know, but that doesn't mean I don't have to ask for it today, right? Mm-hmm. One day at a time, I have to, you know, rekindle that relationship with my Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm.
I think I said earlier in the program that from my point of view, that justice is the virtue we're working with, the cardinal moral virtues, less than prudence, but more with justice. And in connection with that, the gift of the Holy Spirit that rules justice is piety. And I remember one person I counseled once had a dream, beautiful thing, about that sort of it expressed what piety is, a pietas, where we, where our Heavenly Father is the one whose will we love and we try to do. And this was the dream was of a man sawing wood with a large saw, and his little three-year-old son below him taking a stick and rubbing it over another small log, ineffectually trying to do what his father was doing, but loving his father, wanting to do what his father does. And if you think about that in light of, say, a parable like the man who had the great harvest and wanted to build all the barns because he could control everything, he would have blessings in reserve, I'm set. And instead of asking, you know, what his Heavenly Father wanted, which was maybe he had received generously, maybe to share generously. And the Lord says, you fool, you know, tonight your life is going to be required of you. You know, tomorrow is not coming for you. I'm coming for you, but tomorrow isn't. You know, and then what are you going to do with this heaped up wealth? So I think that, you know, you can bring in the notion of prudence, but at the point is to always ask, how am I doing the will of my Heavenly Father? What is the will of my Heavenly Father? And do that rather than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really impressive, the whole concept of, you know, we can live one day at a time because we have a Father. You know, we have a Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. who will provide for us. I was recently celebrated Mass for Our Lady of Bethlehem School, not too far away from this radio station. And I knew it was a school Mass. I didn't know exactly what kind of school it was. When I got there, I realized the big kids are in kindergarten. They're the big kids. That's the oldest kids. The little kids go down to about two. So this is an all-school Mass. It's beautiful. They have a little chapel, but all the kids are in the chapel. And they're amazingly quiet. One of them cried a little bit, you know, but not bad, you know, for that many little kids. But
it's a miracle.
Probably is. When you see that, you realize, yeah, that's the frame of reference of someone that age, you know, age 2 through 5. It's pretty much, you know, give us this day. Maybe give us this minute, you know. But Christ, yeah. Christ wanted his disciples to be childlike, and perhaps that has to do with, you know, living life one day at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, not childish or infantile, like, you know, Father Charles was describing. It's not sort of like an irresponsibility.
Right.
A laziness, you know, a failure to plan what we need to, but a real sense that, you know, I just don't worry about this because there's someone who takes care of it for me, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think it also really helps with resentment and anger. You know, I think it's St. Paul who says, don't let the sun set on your anger, you know? And he says, I'm forgetting the exact words, but the devil's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Don't let him
solid in your face.
Don't let him send you to bed angry. You know, it's basically what he's saying. And, you know, I think that if we see every day as kind of a mini lifetime, you know, then we won't. Is this so important? Right? Is this thing that I'm angry about so important that I want my last moment on earth to be a moment of resentment and anger? Mm-hmm. Or can I put it away and give it to God and tomorrow's a new day? You know, sort of, you know, I think that, yeah. Anyway, just.
Yeah. Noah, I got a little note here. How about looking. How about looking backwards? Mm-hmm. What about anxiety and regrets over the past? And, you know, that is a really, you know, big thing for alcoholics and all addicts and all human beings in general. A big problem that alcoholics often speak about is living in the past or in the future, but never in the present, which is the only time where life really happens. We absolutely cannot change the past, and we can only change the future and into the present. Anxiety about the past is resentment. Anxiety about the future is fear. If we live in the past or the future, we generally live in a state of resentment or fear, which can seriously hamper one's spiritual life. A lot of alcoholics confess that they drink excessively, mainly in an effort to escape that pain of living. It's a real pain of living in almost continually in resentment or fear. And I think this just applies to everyone on earth.
It's also isolating.
Yes.
You know, because you will find no company in your mind, either in a future that has not been born yet or a past which is dead. Mm-hmm. You know, the only place you're going to find companionship and connection is in the present moment, you know, where you can find your God by your side, where you find friends or understanding hearts, even at a meeting where everybody is there wrestling with the same kind of a problem, you know. But you could, as you make the point, you could expand that to this entire pilgrimage we're working together. Notice even from the garden, the devil tried to separate us out when he suggested that God might not be taken care of. Oh, is it from none of the trees of the garden you can eat? The suggestion is he's not going to take care of you. And who's going to take care of you if you don't? And that's the invitation to pride, to anxiety, to fear and resentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is maybe a deeper question, but like heaven is sometimes described as the eternal now. Mm-hmm. You know, heaven is it's not a succession necessarily of day after day after day, you know, but it's just everything is present. Mm-hmm. Everything is present to God.
And yes, yes. Yeah, that's the life of contemplation, you know. I think those Christians who have vocations in the world, you know, this is a bigger struggle for them, you know, living in the present moment, precisely because contemplation is ordered to the present, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus talks about the seed that fell among thorns. He says the thorns are the cares and anxieties of life. And St. Paul talks about how those who have vocations in the world will have more of those cares and anxieties. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think this is a really important maxim motto, you know, one day at a time, for those of us who have more worldly cares, earthly cares and anxieties, mm-hmm. just one day at a time, one day at a time.
Okay. Yeah, no. I mean, in heaven, we'll take it one day at a time because we'll fully realize happiness is simply being united with our Heavenly Father. That's true in heaven, and that's true here on earth. All right, well, very good. Well, let's now end in a prayer. Thank you for joining us today for Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Jerome, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Stephen, Father Stephen Dominic, and Father Charles. And let us now end in a prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.